All right, open your Bibles to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'd appreciate your prayers. I'm seeking leadership on where we're going next. We have just finished our study in Daniel, and I need the Lord's leadership on where we need to go. And tonight we're going to be in Hebrews, and a message here for you tonight. And then next week, next Sunday night, is question and answer time. And if you have questions, I need for you to get them in. I got some this morning. And if you have some, get them written down. Get them to me. Put them in the offering plate, whatever. And we'll deal with those next Sunday night. And by the way, if you put a question in, make sure you're here for the answer.
Amen.
See, I don't usually know who put the question in. I just assume if you were interested enough to put a question in, you'd certainly be interested enough to be here to get the answer.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, I would hope you respect the fact that I'm going to work this week to answer your question.
Amen.
And so be here. We're in the book of Hebrews, and we're down at verse 23. And we're going to go through verse 29. I want you to follow along with me. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, with the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. Let's pray. Father, bless this time we're going to spend together looking at this man, Moses. Thank you for his testimony. Thank you that you've given us his testimony here in your hall of fame, your hall of faith. Now speak to us, Lord, that we might see the things we learn from Moses and apply them to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Moses, a man of faith. Moses, a man of faith. We know that the underlying foundation of the Christian life is faith. Without faith, we cannot know God. And in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it tells us that without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the key. Over in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, Paul once again reaffirms and testifies to us that we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul was saying that those who will know God and follow him have to do so by faith, by what God says, not by their own logic, not by their own experience, not by their own feelings, but trusting in God and in what he has said. Those who will follow God and who will please him will be found to do so, or do the illogical. They will be found to be attempting the impossible and expecting the improbable. And it's all by faith. In our text, we find several examples of Old Testament characters here in this chapter 11. All of them are folks who simply lived for God and followed him solely and totally by faith. But tonight we want to talk about one individual mentioned in this chapter. And that's Moses. We know that Moses was a great man of God. We know he accomplished much for God. But the fact is, Moses could not have done anything or been anything apart from his faith in God. Now, I believe it would benefit every one of us first to see and recognize Moses as an example to us in this matter of faith. Then I believe each of us ought to purpose in our hearts to follow his example as it's given to us here in this matter of faith. And we're going to look at some ways we can do that tonight. How can we imitate, if you will, or follow Moses as a people of faith? Number one, we need to identify or deny the identity with the world. And that's what Moses did. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What that's telling us is, when Moses got to be of age, by the way, we believe he spent 40 years in the house of Pharaoh. Then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. Then he spent 40 years leading the people of Israel. So when he came to age, and we assume around 40 years of age, he turned away from all the luxuries, all the trappings, if you will, of being Pharaoh's daughter, or Pharaoh's daughter's son. He was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. We know the story, how he was found in that basket, and how God worked all that out. And ironically, as God would have it to be, his own mother ended up bringing him up and nursing him and training him. Don't we have a wonderful God? Amen. But you know, Moses was actually in line to be a Pharaoh. He was an adopted son. So when he turned his back on Egypt, he was forsaking a lot of things. He enjoyed the fame and the benefits of being part of the royal family. Yet, when it came time for decision, Moses chose to be identified with God's people. Now, when we say that, understand, God's people were slaves. They were under the thumb of Pharaoh. But Moses had to make a decision, and his decision was, I want to be identified with my people. I don't want to be identified with the world. It's interesting. We read about how Moses slew the Egyptian. Remember that story? And it kind of put the pressure on him to make that decision. Of course, God's in all of this. But when Moses turned his back on Egypt, he had no guarantees for his future. He went out into the desert. He went out into the wilderness. And we learn that he became a sheep herder for 40 years. Now think about this. Here's a man who went from all the luxury you could imagine. I mean, you're living in the king's palace as part of his family. The food you want to eat, everything is done for you. And people can't do enough for you. And anything you ask is granted. And he turns his back on all that and goes out in the wilderness. And now he's a sheep herder out in the desert somewhere. But he did that by faith. The Bible tells us that there. It says, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. As that tells me, Moses chose to be alone and unpopular on the backside of a desert herding sheep rather than to identify with the people, with the worldly people. That takes a lot of faith. Now, we look at that, and I want you to understand, if we're really going to be a people of faith, we also need to refuse to be identified with the world. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be different. Don't take this to an extreme, but we're supposed to be peculiar people. Some of you are really working hard at that. Just kidding. You say, well, how do I refuse to be identified with the world? Well, number one, you take a stand for God and you identify with Him. Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me shall not be ashamed. We should never cower. We should never back away from telling people, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. We shouldn't allow popularity and ease of life to cause us to compromise. You know, sometimes you don't want to stand up and say I'm a Christian because it's not going to be popular. You know, down there at work, it might cause some people not to like us very much or to ridicule or mock us or whatever. In some of our social settings, it might cause us to be ostracized. But listen, we ought to be willing to pay the price. Moses was. He did not want to be identified with Egyptians. He wanted to be identified with God's people. And that's what I want to be. He was, you're a Bible thumper. Call me what you will. You're one of them fundamentalists. Hey, if that's what you want to call me, that's fine. I'm a Bible-believing, hell-hating, heaven-loving, Christ-loving, independent, temperamental Baptist. I'm not ashamed of that. And we need to stand up and take a stand for that, whether it's popular or not popular. Listen, we've all known, and you know, sometimes I'm not much on celebrities making, you know, profession of Christ and things out there and saying they believe in Jesus one day and they're living like the world the next. But there have been some people who were celebrities and took a stand for the Lord and paid a great price for it. Some of you remember way back, Anita Bryant. Anita Bryant was the representative for Florida Citrus Commission. She sang their commercials. But back in the late 70s when this homosexual thing was starting to really fester, she came out against the homosexual. She said, I'm a born-again Christian, and the Bible says that's wrong. She lost her contract with Florida Citrus Commission. She lost all of her endorsement things. She was up there as a star, and she fell off the face of the earth. Paid the price. You know, we need to trust God to care for us and just do right. Whether the world likes it, or the world doesn't like it. You know, we've just done Daniel. Isn't that what he did? He trusted God and he was going to do right regardless of how the king felt about it or anybody else felt about it. We need to follow Moses' example by refusing to be identified with the world. Number two, follow Moses' example by choosing to pay the price of godliness. The Bible says Moses, who chose to suffer affliction, look there, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, and notice this, for a season. Moses chose the suffering of godliness over the pleasures of sin. Now, that's interesting language in the Bible. Do you realize sin is pleasurable? If you know that sin is pleasurable, hold your hand up. That's why we're always trying to go in that direction. Sin pleases our flesh. It's pleasurable. But notice how the Bible says it. Pleasurable for a season. See, sin initially brings pleasure. But sin also brings with it results. We talked this morning and we've talked often about the reaping of sin. Sin is pleasurable for a little while, and we know how the devil likes to hold up the pleasure of sin in front of us. Hey, you're going to enjoy this. It's going to make you feel good. It's going to bring pleasure to your flesh. Get involved. But he don't tell you the downside of it. What it's going to cost you. I learned something a long time ago. Very simple quote or little ditty of a law, but there's no such thing as a free lunch. Listen, Satan's pleasures always have a hook. I talked recently about the fish. You know, you try to make that bait look real good so that fish will bite. But once he's on, there's a hook. That's how the devil plays. So we may fall for sin's pleasure, but understand, then we pay the price. Moses chose rather to suffer the affliction of his people. What affliction? They were slaves. They were in bondage. They were under the thumb of Pharaoh. They didn't have freedom. They didn't have the best of everything. But he was willing to do that rather than be identified with the people of Egypt. Godliness not only may bring affliction from the pleasures of sin, but it also can bring suffering. Listen, if you're going to identify with God and you're going to choose not to be identified with the world, understand there's going to be a price to pay. You say, that's not fair that just because we want to be Christians, we ought to have to pay the price. I don't know who defines your definition of fair, but God has His definition. And it's a rule of the Bible that those who are going to live for Christ are going to suffer for it. And here's another hard part of that rule. The more you try to live for Christ, the more you're going to suffer for it. That's why a lot of Christians don't want to live for the Lord. Not willing to pay the price. I said to somebody recently, it's really been heavy on my heart, my wife's heart, how we look around and we see some of God's servants who have really, really, really been faithful to Him and tried to do His work and do His will in the ministry. And we see the things that they're suffering. Brother Lacaprusha, his wife just went home to glory. Now, I know that's not bad for her, but now he's alone. The Clarks and what their family has been through. Brother Steve Hayes and what he's been going through. The Fadenas and what they're going through. Brother Braille, if you remember him, Mr. Magic, Christmas time, he fell, hurt his back, had to have surgery, laid up for a while. We could go on and on with a list of servants of God who are trying their best to serve the Lord, and they're suffering for it. And the more you try to serve Him, the more you're going to pay the price. But Moses said, I would rather pay that price than be identified with the world. You know, Peter says we shouldn't be surprised when the price of suffering comes. You know, it's interesting. You ever read the book of Job? Did you ever realize that godliness attracts the wrath of the world, so to speak? Isn't that what Satan was all about in Job when he came to God and he accused Job? Why is he accusing Job? Because Job's trying to live godly. Job's a godly man. So what does Satan do? He goes and accuses him. Hey, the only reason he's godly is because you're blessing him. And by the way, Satan's still the accuser of the brethren. That's us. He's still accusing us. Hey, the only reason they're living for you is because you're... So sometimes we have to have a little suffering in our life. The Bible says those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So here's Moses. He made a conscious choice. By faith, he knew he would suffer with the other Jews. He knew being one of God's people was unpopular. He knew he would have to give up a lot to make this decision. Yet by faith, he chose suffering for the Lord over the pleasures of sin. And we need to make that same kind of decision. Suffering is sure. Suffering is temporary. And it's better to suffer temporarily and enjoy our eternity with God than to enjoy sin's pleasures for a season here and regret it for eternity. So we see Moses' example. Number one, we need to follow by refusing to identify with the world. And number two, we need to follow his example. Choose to pay the price of godliness. Number three, we need to stand boldly for Christ. Now, I know we're in Old Testament. Moses didn't have Christ. He stood boldly for the Lord. But we need to stand for Christ. Now, in verse 27, it says this. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You ever think about what Moses was called on to do? God gave Moses the assignment to go to what was right that day, the most powerful man in the world, and tell him, not ask him, tell him, let my people go. That's a pretty big assignment. He had to come to Pharaoh and demand that he let the people go. Now, it's bad enough that God said, go tell him. But God had already told him, Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. And Moses didn't have to go one time. There were 10 different plagues. It wasn't until that 10th plague that Pharaoh finally said, get them out of here. And each time Moses had to go back and face Pharaoh again. You know, sometimes when we face difficulty and hard things, we like to see them get over with, don't we? Think about poor Moses. Each time he would go, maybe it's this time. And he'd come back and Pharaoh would say, no, okay, here we go again. Now I got to go face him again. And from what I read about Moses, I don't think he was a guy who liked confrontation. You read about when God told him what he was going to do and he said, I don't speak well. Lord, I don't think I can do that. I'm not confrontational. But God said, listen, you do what I told you to do. And he did it. He had to face Pharaoh. He had to face Pharaoh's magicians. They duplicated some of the miracles. But Moses had to boldly stand believing God was going to see him through that whole thing. And it brings me to this point. We need to learn to stand boldly for the Lord. How do we stand boldly? We let them know what God has said. Oh, that's not very popular today. Speak out against homosexuality and see how popular you are. Speak out against abortion. See how popular you are. Speak out against living together without being married. See how popular you are. Speak out against the nakedness of today. By the way, it's men and women both. Running around half naked, showing everything they can show. See how popular you are. Just start speaking out on some of the things God says in his book. Start speaking out against false religions. Against so-called Christian churches that teach people you've got to work your way to heaven. See how popular you are. But Moses was called upon to go and declare what God said, and he didn't back down from it. He didn't fear Pharaoh. You know, the fact is, now, understand this, Moses had something we didn't have. He had a burning bush experience. Now think about this. He's out in the desert. All of a sudden this bush starts burning, but it's not consumed. And then the bush starts speaking to him. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground, Moses. So Moses had an experience that all through this backed him up and gave him the wherewithal, the strength to do what he was doing. Now we don't have a burning bush. We have something better. We have the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our heart and our life. He burns in us all the time. Moses had to leave that burning bush in the desert. We don't ever have to leave the Holy Spirit because He'll never leave us. We can have that boldness, and we should have that boldness. Boldness to proclaim you got to be born again to go to heaven. That's not very popular. What about my religion? Can't get there by religion. We shouldn't allow the world to intimidate us. But we do. Look up here. We do. Too often we keep our mouth shut. Too often we don't speak up. Too often we don't want to say what we should be saying. Because it's not popular. And we fear the results. You ever read about David and Goliath? Let me ask you this question. When you read about David and Goliath now, he comes on this battle scene. Here's all of Israel. Here's all the Philistines. They're pitted against each other. But every day this giant comes out and he screams at these Israelites and they don't do anything about it. Why not? They were intimidated. He intimidated them to where they did nothing. They feared him. And that's how we are sometimes. We let the world intimidate us. But let me ask you this. How do you feel about those Israelites that let that guy intimidate them? I know how David felt. He was upset. He said, "Is there not a cause?" And he said, "I'll go out against him. He don't intimidate me because I got a God who's bigger than he is." And we need to understand that. We shouldn't let the world intimidate us. By the way, we shouldn't let Satan intimidate us. Hey, he's a pretty powerful foe. But understand this, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. He cannot defeat the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. When he attacks, claim the blood. That sends him at a tizzy. Because he knows. He knows that blood's been shed, the price has been paid, and the victory's been won. And then, we can imitate Moses if we will avoid God's judgment, God's way. Let me talk about that. Verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. All right, I'm not going to belabor this point, but it's about salvation. It's about the Passover. Do you know the Passover this year is this Friday? It's interesting it comes on Friday this year. But the Passover is this Friday. We know the Jewish Passover, and we had the Seder thing here with Pastor Fedena. Remember that? When Jim Poliak wore that outfit of the high priest and everything. So we know what the Jews do for Passover, but here's why. Because way back when the Israelites were trying to get free from Egypt, and God said, one last plague, the firstborn, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt are going to die tonight. I will pass through. But he said this to Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he told Moses, here's what you're to do. You take a lamb, an innocent lamb, and you slay him. A lamb for every house. Take a lamb, slay him, get the blood in a bucket. Get a hyssop bush. And take that blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And God said, when I come through tonight, when I see the blood, I'll pass right over. And so Moses and the Jewish people, he told them exactly what they had to do, and they did it God's way. And when God came through that night, the firstborn, by the way, I don't believe it's just the firstborn people. Everything that was firstborn in Egypt died, including Pharaoh's son. You know, that got Pharaoh's attention. But over there on the Israelite side where they lived, every house where there was blood on that doorpost, there was no death. They found deliverance God's way. Blood. And that's how we have to find our deliverance. Listen, if one of those Jews said, I don't like shedding blood, I'm going to put something else on the doorpost. Dead meat. If one of those Jews said, I don't like that method, I'm going to find my own. Dead meat. There was only one way. God's way. And that's how we have to come. We need to understand that. I talked this morning about people trying to get to heaven their own way. It don't work. And I said this morning how there's going to be a lot of good people in hell. Now that blows our mind, doesn't it? When we think about all these people who are so diligent and faithful, say for instance, I'm not trying to pick on them, but Roman Catholic folks who go to Mass every day or go to confession every week and do everything the church said to do. Well, that's not going to get them to heaven. You say, that's your opinion. No, that's the Bible. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and what He did, not what we did. And so, in hell, there are going to be good, moral, nice people. And it's because they didn't come God's way. Just like that. Listen, I am not foolish enough to think that every Jew that night did what Moses told them to do. You say, well, why not? Because I know people. Look up here. In any crowd, there's always a couple knuckleheads and hardheads. Huh? I'll do it my way. Have at it, man. Now, we're talking a couple of million people. And God never tells us how many died or if any died, but knowing human nature like I do, I'm assuming that there were some knuckleheads and strong-willed people who said, I'm not going to do it. That's okay. But you'll suffer pay the price. No other way possible. But then, look at this. Follow His example by trusting God to do the miraculous. I love this. Look at the next verse. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. Okay, it was faith that brought Moses to the Red Sea. All this time he's believing God, isn't he? He's listening to God. He's doing everything God said by faith. He don't know how in the world he's going to get out of Egypt. How is he going to get Pharaoh to convince? How is he going to convince Pharaoh to let his people go? Just go tell him God said so. And then God starts bringing plagues. God says, you go tell him if he don't let you go, here's what's going to happen. Okay. Moses goes, hey, you don't let us go, we're going to have frogs and lice and flies and moraine and boils and hail and darkness and death of the first. Hey, if you don't let us go, and he did that by faith. Each time he would go and say, Pharaoh, if you don't let us go, here's what's going to happen. Pharaoh would say, you can't go. And that's exactly what happened. Now, Pharaoh says, get out of here. He's had enough. Get out of here. Go. And by the way, isn't it interesting how they spoiled the Egyptians? That means they got gold and all this stuff, and the Egyptians are gone. And they head out. And now they come to the Red Sea. Listen to me. They didn't come to the Reed Sea. What are you talking about? Oh, some of the theologians, you know, they like to explain away miracles. And they say, oh, they didn't come to the Red Sea. They came to the Reed Sea. And the Reed Sea was only 6 inches deep. So they walked right across that thing. I heard about a fellow that was in a Bible college one time, was so liberal, and the professor was trying to sell that kind of stuff. And that old boy in the back, he started having a hallelujah fit. He's back there clapping his hands and hallelujah. And the guy, well, what are you getting all excited about? He said, you know, what you're saying is a greater miracle than what I ever thought. Because not only did they cross over, but Pharaoh drowned his whole army in 6 inches of water. But that's what they try to do. Explain it away. But now here comes Moses and comes to this Red Sea. I got 2 million people. I got Pharaoh coming back here. And I got a Red Sea in front of me. What am I going to do? God said, hold out the staff in your hand. Moses didn't argue with God. He did exactly what God said. And that old water party. Now, we don't know how far it parted. But understand, it had to part far enough that 2 million people... You see, he keeps saying that, 2 million. Yeah, because too many of us have watched the Ten Commandments. We think there was only a couple hundred people. No. The Bible tells us there were 600,000 men of war. Which is from 20 years old, I think, to 50. But just take 600,000 men, all right? Most of them are going to have a wife, if they have any sense. Got to have somebody to keep you warm. 600,000. So now we're at 1.2 million, right? Now, add about 4 or 5 kids. We get to 2 million real quick. And many people believe it's more than 2 million. And God had to part that Red Sea to do it. Moses just believed God was going to do something. See, every time he went to Pharaoh, God had to do something, and God did. And when that last plague, when they had to put the blood and everything, God had to do something, and God did. And Moses had the faith to believe. Why, the people were chiding. Did you bring us out here to die here? But Moses just believed God and he did what God said to do. He trusted God for the miraculous. And by the way, follow his life in the wilderness. Got a couple of million people who are thirsty. Listen, I've been around Baptists who didn't have enough to eat or didn't have enough to drink. They get cranky. Imagine, no water. You get up in the morning, you can't even make coffee. That will ruin your day. And so they start on Moses again. You bring us out here to die, we got no water. Like a bunch of Baptists. And Moses goes to the Lord. And the Lord says, Moses, now this is the first time. See that rock over there? I want you to take that staff in your hand. Smite that rock. Anybody in here ever see water come out of a rock? You realize a rock is the least likely place to look for water? You know, maybe in a cactus or a tree or a rock. And God says, go smite that rock. By faith. Moses didn't argue with God. He didn't say, you can't do that. He went over and here comes enough water for 2 million people. Man of faith. He believed God for the miraculous. How am I going to feed these people out here in the desert? 2 million people. We don't have McDonald's. We don't have Taco Bell. We don't have anything. God says, I'll take care of it. Every morning it'll come out, there'll be manna on the ground. 6 days a week. Wait a minute, there are 7 days in a week. Yeah, on a sixth day, get twice as much because tomorrow I'm not making any. That's my day of rest. That's the Sabbath. We don't do anything on the Sabbath. Took care of them. They started moaning and groaning. We want some meat. God said, you want meat? I'll send you meat. He sent them quails and quails and quails. It says till they were knee-deep in them so much, it says it came out of their nostrils. You ever eat so much, say, man, it's coming out of my nose. God has a sense of humor. But he did all that by faith. Moses was a man of faith. He just believed God would take care of the need. Whatever it was. And he trusted God. And God did. Trusted him to do the miraculous. And you know, that's where we need to be. I think we've lost a lot of the idea that we have a God of miracles. I've said many times, I think we've lost the idea of our dependency upon God. See, most of us know where tomorrow's bread's coming from. Right? Most of us have some kind of an income. Most of us are not worried about, am I going to have enough to eat tomorrow? Most of us are not worried about, am I going to have a roof over my head? And that has robbed us of our dependency upon God. Listen, you go to some of these places where they don't have all that. And you find the people who depend on God. And there are people of faith because they have to depend on God. And we need to get that back. We need to understand, yes, we may have a paycheck coming, but it's only because God allows us to have that. He gives us the ability to go to work. He gives us the opportunity to go to work. He gives us a place to go to work. Listen, get in your mind, your employer is only somebody God uses to give you the paycheck. In reality, you work for him. Yeah. You need to thank God every day that you have the health and the ability to go to work. But see, we've lost a lot of our dependency on God to do for us. Because we can do so much for ourselves. Listen, Moses was a man of faith because he had to depend on God. And he just made up his mind, I'm going to depend on God. I am going to follow God by faith. And he did. Not by sight. I think it would be good for us to learn to be like Moses. I think that's why God put him here in the Bible. This whole chapter 11, I think God put there for us to learn to be a people of faith. Because too often we fail. We fail in being the people of faith God wants us to be. One final thought. I've said many times, I'm always amazed, kind of puzzled. The people will trust God with their eternal destiny. They will put their faith in God to take them to heaven when they die and believe God's going to do that, but they cannot have the faith to live for God here and now. Don't make sense to me. Man, if I can trust Him with my eternity, surely I can trust Him with tomorrow. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People of faith. Listen, Moses is just such a great example to us. And we need to follow the example. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, example number one, I believe, is the salvation example. Trusting the blood of Jesus Christ to save us and to keep us saved. If you've done that, if you know you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been saved, you've been born again, hold up your hand. God bless you. If you haven't been saved tonight, would you say, I need to get saved? Would you indicate your need of salvation by raising your hand and say, Preacher, I need to get under the blood. I need Jesus. Okay, believer, are you living by faith? I'm not talking about your faith to go to heaven when you die. You've got that. You trusted Christ. I'm talking about faith for today and faith for tomorrow. Are you living by faith? If you believe right now that to the best of your ability, you are really living by faith, would you hold your hand up and say, I believe I am. I believe I'm living by faith, preacher. Put your hand down. If you're struggling with that, if you say, preacher, I think I need to do better in this thing, living by faith. God is really convicting me tonight. I need to trust Him for some things. I need to change some things in my life. I need to be more vocal about my faith. I need to stand up against the world. Maybe tonight you say, I need to get out of the world. Man, I've been playing footsie with the world. I need to identify with God's people. Whatever it is tonight, God's speaking to your heart. Would you just raise your hand and say, Preacher, God's speaking to me. God's speaking to me. I see hands going up. God's speaking to me. God's speaking to me. I need to be a person of faith. Here's my hand. Let's stand together. Invitation time. You need to come. You just come. Do business with the Lord right here. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you again for Moses. Help us to heed what we've seen in your word about decisions he made. And to live as a people of faith like you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen.